We're going to continue our study on the greatest tragedies, on the greatest tragedies. We begin today in Genesis chapter 19, and we're going to read down together verses 24 to 29. Let's turn to Genesis 19, beginning in verse 24, and the Word of God has this to say. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heavens. He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld. And lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. In this series on the greatest tragedies, we have seen the greatest tragedy of all time, the tragedy that began all tragedies. That would be the tragedy of sin. Last time we looked at the tragedy of the flood in Noah's day. And today, our scripture tells us of another tragedy, the destruction of Sodom and the surrounding area. Now, Sodom, the very name of the city, lives in infamy. You see, it's a name that's associated with wickedness. It's a name that is associated with vileness. Yes, it's a name that is associated with destruction. And it's a name that is associated with fire and brimstone. First of all, we want to see, as we look at this tragedy today, of the destruction of Sodom and the surrounding area. The first thing we want to look at is the tragedy of Sodom's sins. The tragedy of Sodom's sins. Let us turn, if you would, together to the book of Ezekiel. We want to look at the prophet Ezekiel, chapter number 16, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 48. So again, that's Ezekiel 16, verse 48 through 50. Amen. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, in abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty, and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. The tragedy of Sodom's sins. First of all, we see the sin of pride. The sin of pride here mentioned. Right off the bat here, pride is mentioned. The Bible has a lot to say about the sin of pride, amen? I want us to turn to the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 16. Proverbs 16. And look at what the Word of God says here in verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Wherever there's pride, it precedes destruction, my friend. And whenever there's a haughty spirit, was it an indication of pride? It comes before there is a fall. In this case, to a city and also to individuals, my friends. Here in Proverbs chapter 16, look with me what it has to say here in verse number 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. The Lord hates pride, my friends. Proud, a person that's proud in the heart. You know, God looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh at the heart, does he not? And when he sees pride in a person's heart, it's an abomination to him. He hates it. Not only did, as we look at the tragedy of Sodom's sins, not only did they have the sin of pride, but they also had the sin of gluttony. It mentions there back in Ezekiel, in that passage we read in chapter 16, verses 48 to 50, it mentions fullness of bread, which is the sin of gluttony. Now, this sin was supported by the great plenty that their country afforded. And this plenty was given to them by God, was abused to luxury and excess. And it was because of God's great mercy that they had plenty. It was their great sin that they had abused it and gluttoned themselves with it. You see, they ate to excess and drank to excess. That which was given to them for a provision for their lives became a provision for their lusts instead. Wealth, my friends, and plenty are great temptations to sensuality. So often, this is the effect of earthly blessings. They might lead a person to God and should bring forth gratitude and praise by those who enjoy the blessings. However, they are often abused and bring ruin to the abusers. Amen. Fullness of bread is apt to make people drowsy both physically and spiritually. And instead of worshiping the blesser, the blessings receive the worship he alone deserves. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 32, we are reminded that the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, when the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was dealing with the temptations of the devil in the wilderness, he said in verse 4 of Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Again, we're looking at the tragedy of Sodom's sins. We've seen, number one, the sin of pride. Number two, the sin of gluttony. And the third sin we see here is the sin of idleness. The sin of idleness. Again, in Ezekiel chapter 16, in the passage we read there in verses 48 to 50, we see it says that they had the abundance of idleness. You see, where there is fullness of bread, there is commonly abundance of idleness. To be idle in order to take a rest from our labor, there's no sin involved. However, an abundance of idleness can lead to no good. You see, abundance of idleness can lead to wrong thinking. God made man to be involved in work even before sin entered the world. And we see this if we go to the book of Genesis for a moment, in chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 15, if you would. The word of God has this to say. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Then look in Genesis chapter 2, let's drop down to verses 19 and 20. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. So God made man to be involved in work even before sin entered the world. The second thing about abundance of idleness, it leads to time being wasted and not redeemed. Also, abundance of idleness can lead to destructive behavior rather than constructive behavior. We're looking here today at another great tragedy, the destruction of Sodom in the area there that it was in and its surrounding area. And we're looking at the tragedy of Sodom's sin, the sin of pride we looked at, the sin of gluttony, the sin of idleness, and also we see the sin of neglect, the sin of neglect. In our passage in Ezekiel chapter 16, in verses 48 to 50, we read there, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Now, opportunities, you see, for service were neglected because of their gluttony and abundance of idleness. You see, we sin. When we neglect those who are spiritually poor, amen? In fact, Jesus reminds us, he said there over in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 4, in verse number 18, Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You see, if we are to be Christ-like, we must preach the gospel to the poor also. We sin also. Not only when we neglect those who are spiritually poor, we sin when we neglect those who are materially poor. Amen. Going back to Ezekiel chapter 16 with me, the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 16, look at what it says here in verse 49 with me. Behold, this was a sin of their... Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Amen. They did not. They neglected to help those both not only spiritually needy, but materially needed. They had the means to help the poor, to feed them, but they didn't. They neglected them. In 1 John chapter 3, the Word of God reminds us here in 1 John chapter 3, if you would. And 1 John chapter 3 in verses 17 and 18. The Word of God has this to say. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Amen. So the Word of God tells us if we see our brother and sister in of need, material need, and we do nothing about it, we look the other way, we sin. Amen? The love of God does not dwell in us. Because if the love of God dwells in you and I, then we'll take care of our brother and sister in Christ. We'll have compassion upon them. Now, not only as we look at the tragedy of Sodom's sins, they also had the sin of immorality. The sin of immorality. We read there in Ezekiel 16, in that passage, verses 48 to 50, that they committed abominations before me. Now, let's look a little bit. Let's look at Genesis chapter 19 with me. Genesis chapter 19. And we want to look at verses 4 and 5. It says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called on the Lord and said unto him, where are the men which came to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. See, we're talking about homosexuality there. That we may know them. The men of the city wanted to know them. To commit a perversion with them. Amen. And in Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, the Word of God tells us, But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, it says about Sodom, their sin is very grievous. And then in Genesis chapter 19, verse 13, we read, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And then in Leviticus 18, verse 22, we're told, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. That's exactly what was going on there in Sodom. There were a bunch of perverts. Amen. They were living there in open wickedness and sin. And they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Amen. Now, let's move on to point number two here as we look at the tragedy of the destruction of Sodom and the surrounding area. The second thing we want to see is the tragedy of Sodom's seduction. The tragedy of Sodom's seduction. Now let's turn to Genesis chapter 13 for a moment. Genesis chapter 13 with me. And in Genesis chapter 13, let's look at verse 10 and through verse 13. Now, we know that there was, both Lot and Abraham became very wealthy, and the place was where they were together wasn't big enough, and there was strife between their cattlemen. So there comes a time where Abraham tells Lot to choose wherever you want to go, you go that way, I'll go the other way, but I'll give you first choice. So we read, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So, it was very enticing. Amen. It was very enticing to Lot. The land looked good, and we see the act of enticing, being he was seduced by the way everything looked. So the act of enticing from the path of duty is to lead astray. We know that Eve was seduced. Eve was seduced by the subtlety of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Amen. She saw it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 for a minute to see that again. Genesis chapter 3. And verse 1. We see now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. See? Now notice, in verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and to a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She was seduced. It looked great. It sounded great. The devil seduced her. Amen. Now, the pleasure of sin seduces men to sin because there is pleasure in sin, though it's only for a season. Amen? Now, sin's seduction is that it only shows you its good points. Amen? It does not show you the end. All you have to do is ask Lot about the seduction of sin, or ask Samson about the seduction of sin, or ask David, or ask Solomon. Ask whoever you want to that has come full circle in the seduction of sin. You see, my dear friends, sin is like a monster from your worst nightmare. Amen. It sucks you into its grasp of its jaws and then chews your life up and spits you out in a mess. We need to guard against the seduction of sin in our lives and the lives of our families. Amen. The third thing we want to see about this tragedy is the tragedy of Sodom's saints. First of all, they were few in number. We're told there that 10 righteous people could not be found in Sodom. Also, not only were they few in number, they were full of negligence. Lot had neglected his righteous soul. In 2 Peter with me, in chapter 2, verse number 7, we're told, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. We see that Lot had neglected his testimony. Looking in Genesis chapter 19 again, in verse 9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Amen. And then in verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters-in-laws, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. See? He lost his testimony. Did he not? With the men of the city? With his own son-in-laws? Lot had neglected righteous soul, his testimony, and his household as well. We see his son-in-laws. They mocked him. Then his wife. His wife. Here in chapter 19 and verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind and she became a pillar of salt. Not only his wife, but his children. Amen. We see there in chapter 19 of Genesis, verses 33 to 38. He ends up in a cave. Drunk Lot with his two unmarried daughters, they get him drunk, and they each commit incest with him, and they bore a child by him. So the thing you want to see is you can take your children out of Sodom, but it's much harder to take Sodom out of your children. The final thing we want to see about this tragedy is the tragedy of Sodom's scourging. It was sudden. It came on suddenly. Not only that, it was searing. It was searing. Look at in chapter 19, verse 24. Then the Lord God rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heavens. Then in verse 28, it says, about Abraham, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Fire and brimstone on the earth. To burn is one of the most painful and agonizing ways to die. Also, fire and brimstone in hell. To be in flames as you die and then wake up in hellfire, what could be worse? We're looking at the tragedy of Sodom's scourging. It was sudden, it was searing, and it was sad. It was sad because the wicked were irreparably lost when they could have been saved. It was sad because the righteous in the city lost everything they had lived for. My friends, there's coming a day when God will judge the wicked by fire. Look at in Revelation chapter 20 with me. In verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is where everyone's going to go who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you're trusting in anything else but the shed blood of Jesus Christ to save you, to pay for all your sins, this is where you'll end up. And there is coming a day when this earth and everything else will be consumed with fire. In 2 Peter chapter 3 with me, beginning in verse 10 and 11, we read this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And that which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness? And then there's a day coming when the believer's works will be judged with fire at the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 13, the Word of God has this to say. Every work, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire.